Tweet at Today SOR.
The many threats to the well-being of 19th century Dubliners included rabid animals, garrotters, pickpockets and dynamiters, and indeed frequent thick fogs provided a lot of cover for wrongdoers. Society's first line of defence was the Dublin Metropolitan Police. Then the force is the subject of a book called The Peeler's Notebook, and it's subtitled Policing Victorian Dublin, Mad Dogs, Jewels and Dynamite. And the author, Barry Kinnerk, is with me in studio. Thanks indeed for coming in, Barry.
Just thank you, Sean.
Roll it back a little bit. Who kept the peace and how did they do the job before the DMP?
Well, before the DMP, you had the Old City Watch, which were a fascinating group of men. You had about 400 officers patrolling a city that was really a warren of laneways and alleys and so on before the Wide Streets Act. And really, they couldn't patrol it sufficiently. And they were generally old and infirm, although not always. And they carried pike staffs and a wooden rattle, pretty much like what you would have seen at the football matches years ago. And that was to summon help if they were in a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. Now, they called out the hour, which is very picturesque, very medieval kind of thing. 11 o'clock and, you know, all is well, that kind of thing. They then retreated to a kind of a watchman's box, with a light brazier in front, you know, to keep them warm. And the students from Trinity College used to, one of their favourite pastimes was to knock the poor old watchman over in his box, face down, so he couldn't get out.
Oh, good heavens. Now, then along came the Peelers. Explain that term.
That's right. So the Peelers, named after Robert Peel, or the Bobbies again, Robert Peel. Robert Peel was Chief Secretary for Ireland. He revolutionised the London Police, the London Metropolitan Police. Dublin Police, the DMP, was modelled along the same lines. So set up in 1836 and it ran all the way up until 1925. So it was quite a long-lived force.
They were absorbed into the new Garda Síochána. And
that's
they were
right.
Separate from the RIC. This was the DMP.
That's correct. So you had seven districts in Dublin and the DMP were an unarmed force. Now, you could have a policeman in his blue costume and his, you know, very characteristic helmet patrolling the streets with a truncheon in, say, Rathmines. And nearby in Rathfarnham, you had a green clothed RIC man with a loaded carbine. They were a semi-paramilitary force.
Yeah, and what distinguished a good Peeler, say, from a poor or average one?
Well, they had to stay temperate in their habits. They weren't supposed to dwell too long in idle chit-chat. They walked at a pace of 3 miles an hour, and they were supposed to know all of the suspicious characters and interesting people on their beat, the location of all the stopcocks for water, because, of course, there was no fire service in the early days of the police. And the more, I suppose, experienced police officers patrolled the main thoroughfares, so Sackville Street, Westmoreland Street, where they could give directions to, you know, members of the nobility and gentry. The young police officers then were known as the Johnny Raws, and they were consigned to the back streets. Johnny Raws,
What went on then by way of law, or lack of law maybe, and disorder that, you know, they would routinely have had to deal with?
Well, I suppose they had to deal with all manner of things. I mean, in the book, I cover things like grave robbing, jewels. Rabid dogs was one of the most interesting things.
Rabid
dogs. Dubliners were terrified of this. I mean, rabies is consigned to the past now. But in the early days, I suppose up until the turn of the century, up until around 1900, rabies was a real scourge. And policemen were sent out with guns to corner and kill a rabid dog. Mm-hmm. So what would happen is basically if a dog got rabies is he'd nip and bite. Eventually, you know, he'd foam at the mouth because, you know, his tongue would become so swollen. In one day in 1885, it was probably the worst day that Dublin had seen for rabies cases. There were two separate incidents on the north and south of the Liffey. On the south side, a rabid dog ran up from the Grand Canal, bit 18 people. You had two policemen following behind, a bit like the Keystone Cops trying to catch this dog. You had on the north side, this was a Sunday, so a bulldog ran out onto Mountjoy Street. Again, bit a similar number of people.
How were they put down? How did the DMP, how did the Peelers deal with them?
Well, if you had a truncheon, that's basically all you had. You have to deal with it. Now, meanwhile, somebody would go to the nearest police station. They had a certain supply of weapons or guns, and he'd be sent out with a gun down to corner the animal and kill it. But the treatment for rabies as well was very interesting. If you were near your tenement house, you went in, you cauterized the wound with a hot poker, which you jammed in the fire and pressed against the flesh. Or if you were brought to a hospital, they'd use caustic substances like sulfuric acid, but very ineffectual.
It sounds rather unpleasant as well. Now, I'd imagine there wasn't too much rock and roll. I don't know about drugs, but there were certainly, from what you say, plenty of drink and sex.
Oh yes,
to be dealt with.
Well, the Peelers or policemen came across on what they euphemistically called in the Victorian times unfortunate females. But you know, the policeman in Victorian times was really on the same platform as the priest, or you know, the missioner, insofar as it was his duty to enforce good moral conduct within the tenements. You know, so he I suppose was a bastion of good, honest, upright conduct. And they oftentimes lived in the police stations, which were serviced by old charwomen rather than young women who could lead the policeman astray, that kind of thing. So they had to kind of toe a line in their private lives as much as their
public. Yeah,
well,
there were particular challenges in certain parts of the city. I know there's a famous song that Dubliners had, the Monto. And then there was an area, was it between Angel Street and Stephen's Green, where there was a lot of illegality and carry-on?
Oh, that's right, yes. Yeah, that was an infamous red light district as well, near where Mercer's Hospital was. It was known as the DMP Man's Hospital. But yes, and of course, you mentioned Monto as well, which had tunnels literally running under the street so people could pass surreptitiously from the pub to the brothel and so on. You know, so all of that was going on. And of course, amongst all this, then you had the dangers of the weather. You know, policemen patrolling in as much as up to 60 days of fog
this
every
was
winter.
What, caused by coal or coal fires?
Yeah, which I remember, I suppose, almost up until the days of, you know, Mary Harney brought in the smokeless coal ban. But a very kind of foul smelling fog that really was such a pea soup.
Yeah, and what about, you mentioned grave robbing, I think, as one of the illegal activities that used to go on. Tell me about that.
So until the 1832 Anatomy Act was passed, the medical schools couldn't get a legal supply of bodies to experiment on, you know, for the medical students. Mm-hmm. So what they would do is they would have the resurrectionists, or the sack 'em up men, as they were known. They would go into graveyards like Glasnevin or Bully's Acre, and they would literally dig up the corpses and take them up to Trinity. There's an old herb garden in Trinity which is literally littered with little bits of jawbone and so on from all of these bodies.
Good
proceeds
heavens.
Of that.
What part did the DMP then play in two of the big events of the early 20th century in Dublin, the lockout and the rising?
Well, the lockout was really a turning point for the force. So up until 1913, they were regarded, you know, as insofar as a police force can ever be popular, they were regarded with some level, I suppose, of you know, popular support. Mm-hmm. But the watershed, of course, was Bloody Sunday, 31st of August 1913, when Jim Larkin famously appeared in the window of the Imperial Hotel disguised as a priest, and Countess Markovitch had gone down to watch events. And of course, this was all in support of the ITGWU, you know, the Workers' Union, mm-hmm. Rights of Workers. And when Larkin was arrested, the crowd surged forward slightly on Sackville Street. And the police, thinking that a riot was about to break out, began to batten bystanders indiscriminately. Now, what made matters worse was that it was a Sunday. So around at the back on Marlborough Street, you had people coming out of mass into that kind of chaotic mix, mm-hmm. and police were battening people left, right and centre. Sean T. O'Kelly was one of the onlookers of that
later
as well.
Later President of
yes,
Ireland. Yes,
that's right. Yeah.
And then the rising?
And so the rising, they were taken off the streets. Now, some DMP men just disregarded that completely. John Dillon, a parliamentarian, lived on North Great Georgia Street, said one of the loveliest sights he saw at the end of the rising, the end of Easter week, was to see a group of DMP men coming along the top of Gardiner Road to, you know, restore order. But the looting was one of the very interesting things I discovered, because, of course, we have access now to the station logs and the sheer amount of things that Dubliners were looting, because there were no police on the streets. Fascinating.
Well, absolutely. It is the word to describe this book. It's called The Peeler's Notebook, subtitled Policing Victorian Dublin, Mad Dogs, Jewels and Dynamite. The author is Barry Kinnark. Barry, thank you so much indeed for coming in, and good luck with the launch tomorrow night, Wednesday, in Ashburn, in Kelly's Pub. I'm told
That's
all
right.
are welcome.